This is a recording for the Peter Majeski teleconference with iAdvise, Friday, February 22nd, 2013, scheduled from 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Good morning. My name is Chantel, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Megacable Fourth Quarter 2012 Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to Pete Majeski of iAdvise Corporate Communications.
Thank you, Chantel, and good morning, everyone. I am pleased to welcome you to Megacable's Fourth Quarter 2012 conference call. Please note that the statements made today may constitute forward-looking statements, which do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, and/or financial results. These are subject to various conditions and may differ materially. For a complete note on forward-looking statements, please refer to the quarterly release, which was distributed yesterday evening. If you have not yet received the release and would like to be added to the mailing list, please contact us in New York at 212-406-3694. With us today from Megacable are Mr. Enrique Yamune Robles, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Zetter, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. They will be taking your questions after the presentation. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Yamune for his presentations. Sir, please go ahead.
Many thanks, Pete. Welcome to everyone joining us today for Megacable's conference call to discuss the fourth quarter and full year 2012 operating and financial results. Within the dynamic and competitive industry, we at Megacable hope that today's discussion will provide additional color and context with regards to the company's results, which were published yesterday. To start, I will touch upon the company's most important recent events, as well as Megacable's operational highlights for the quarter and full year of 2012. In terms of operational and technical achievements, I am pleased to report that Megacable implemented an MPLS, multi-protocol label switching cloud, over the company's GTAC transport network. This implementation allows Megacable to transport a new set of IP-based services, including HD, high-definition video content, to different locations throughout the country, centralizing the company content to different locations for the VOD distribution, transporting Megacable's new OTT over-the-top platform, as well as boosting the company's share in the enterprise market by connecting commercial customer networks. GTAC has provided a tremendous impact on Megacable's operational and economic efficiency, driving a reduction in Megacable's bandwidth cost structure by more than 45% by transporting 98% of the company's internet traffic. For 2013, Megacable budgeted an increase to the company's backbone capacity to support 7% growth in bandwidth requirements. 2013 looks to be very exciting in terms of product development and deployment. Megacable expects to launch new products while consolidating all others, all with the goal of better serving customers and providing them with state-of-the-art communications and entertainment solutions. OTT will be available to customers in the coming weeks, allowing subscribers to enjoy TV programming and content in both multiple rooms and on multiple screens and devices within their home. In addition, subscribers will have the ability to access a large content library stored in head ends and access to Megacable's backbone without additional subscription fees. In terms of Megacable VOD and SVOD capabilities, the company currently has VOD services in 8 main markets. Prior to the construction of the first quarter, this service will be available to approximately 90% of Megacable's home spots. SVOD packages will be launched at the beginning of the second quarter. Within high definition, Megacable launched its high definition product in 2010 with a few channels. However, the company did not seriously push HD until 6 months ago. Furthermore, the company has been adding cities and now has 45 HD channels in main markets, adding more as more channels become available. Megacable has the ability to launch HD packages very quickly and easily, as the company transports video channels with Megacable Fiber's backbone, thus saving time and money in terms of implementing new channels to the video lineup, as Megacable now possesses two redundant head ends instead of one per city. As I previously mentioned, my cable fiber backbone via GTAC is fully operational and has proven to be a very big competitive advantage for internet and voice services. Internet growth has been very healthy in 2012, and the company expects growth to continue in 2013 and the coming years. The backbone will also help Megacable to promote an increased share in the small and medium business and corporate markets. During the first half of 2013, the company will also launch cloud services, which will also help to boost services to businesses. Megacable will also deploy its Wi-Fi network, with the initial sites becoming more competitive for broadband subscribers. The company is developing a commercial plan that will allow the majority of subscribers to use their mobile devices in public places, mostly free of charge, with authentication from the company's billing software. Megacable also signed a roaming agreement with the Jio Consortium that multiplies the number of sites that Megacable subscribers can utilize. The company completed additional projects that will help Megacable to resolve various operational issues that will allow added operational efficiencies. Now, moving into capital management affairs, for which I'm sure you are all interested. As you know, during the fourth quarter of 2012, Megacable paid a dividend of approximately 530 million pesos. In doing so, Megacable accomplished two basic objectives. One is to maximize benefits to both the company and the shareholders, and two, provided liquidity to the stocks. The board will review the previous year results and may recommend to shareholders that dividends represent approximately 15% of the net income before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. EBITDA moving forward. It is worth noting, and I would like to state, that Megacable possesses some of the highest EBITDA margins in the Mexican telecommunications industry, an EBITDA capex ratio of 53% and a revenue capex ratio of 22%, one of the lowest in the industry. I would now like to turn the call over to Raimundo and Luis so they can provide additional details with regard to the company's results. Raimundo, please proceed.
Thank you very much, Enrique, and good morning to everyone participating on today's call. We appreciate your interest in Megacable and sustained support of the company. In terms of operational results, video subscribers report 8% growth when comparing the fourth quarter 2012 with the fourth quarter 2011, adding more than 156,000 subscribers. It is worth mentioning that due to successful business strategies implemented in the fourth quarter, the video segment reported the highest subscriber growth of the year. With regards to HD subscribers, this business reported net adds of 24,000. Megacable was offering 35 channels during third quarter 2012 in two cities, and now subscribers can enjoy 45 channels in 12 cities. The broadband internet segment registered solid performance in terms of net adds, increasing the base by 35,000 net additions compared to third quarter 12 and 152,000 compared to same quarter in 2011, this representing 4% and 22% growth, respectively. The company is confident this trend will continue in 2013. As we mentioned previously, Megacable is fully aware and understands that not only video, but it is internet the key to future success in the industry. So the company is fully prepared to leverage its strength to meet this challenge. Regarding the telephony segment, reported a 12% increase with 61,000 new subscribers in the fourth quarter 2012 versus fourth quarter 2011. One of the major efforts in telephony during 2013 will be to invest in fixed voice infrastructure that creates synergies with mobile devices like laptops, tablets, and smartphones. Customers will now be able to use their fixed line number anywhere in the world with services that can even integrate video from users' voice lines to make video calls, thereby communicating without exceeding the broadband zone. In terms of marketing activities, company continued the Joe Brand advertising campaign with Patrick Dempsey as the official spokesperson. Mega Cable's advertising is focused on communicating the company's low-cost triple-play packages with tremendous success. Mega Cable continues to focus also on expanding its network by building new kilometers, as well as renewing and enhancing current kilometers of network, which has allowed us to provide newer and improved services to a larger audience. The network, above 750 MHz, is now 93% operated, with 42% of the network ready to provide DOCSIS 3.0 services. This allowing highest broad, ultra highest broadband. The number of home pass increased 8%, reaching more than 6 million home pass and 44,000 kilometers of network, with a bidirectional rate of 97%. Metro Carrier, our business commercial brand, continues to expand its services, consolidating operations within Mega Cable's business areas into a single market area that serves business, corporate, and other telecommunication operators. At the moment, Metro Carrier is focused on delivering the best service to the 80,000 business customers with current services, which will further strengthen Mega Cable business customer relationships. Metro Carrier represents 6% of Mega Cable revenues and expects to grow moving forward. Interactive video across Mega Cable's platform is also important. Mega Cable already provides video on demand with over 2,000 hours of content for all of the family, along with the option of rewatching favorite programs. During third quarter and 12, Mega Cable registered approximately 11,000 subscribers, and at the end of fourth quarter 12, report 125,000 subscribers. Another service provided by Mega Cable is transactional VOD, which allows clients to watch movie and special events programs when the subscriber wishes at very competitive rates. As Enrique mentioned, digitalization is one of the company's main projects. Mega Cable currently has 11 cities digitalized and expects to have approximately 10 additional cities digitalized by the end of the year. Again, the company will look to close the analog signal to avoid piracy, regain bandwidth for additional HD channels and VOD services, as well as increase output from premium packages and additional outlets. Mega Cable continues to work on OTT that will allow residential internet users to enjoy a better video experience via the cloud, with these projects expected to be commercially available soon. Those actions clearly demonstrate Mega Cable's commitment to innovation while upholding the company's strategy to constantly improve customers' quality of experience. Thank you for your attention. Now I will turn the call over to Mr. Luis Zetter, our Chief Financial and Administrative Officer, who will review the key financial highlights. Luis, please go ahead.
Thank you, Raimundo. And welcome everybody on the line. I will briefly review the company's financials before proceeding to Q&A. Mega Cable reported sales exceeding 2.2 billion pesos in the quarter as a result of the addition of more than 369,000 RGUs from fourth quarter 2011 to fourth quarter 2012 due to increased sales of bundled services. Consolidated EBITDA grew 4% in the fourth quarter 2012 compared to the same period of 2011, reaching 922 million pesos for an EBITDA margin of 40.5%. Adjusted EBITDA for cable operations rose 5% in the fourth quarter 2012 compared to the same period of 2011, to total 909 million pesos, reaching a margin over cable revenues of 41.5%. Net income in fourth quarter 2012 totaled 478 million pesos, outstanding 34% growth compared to the same period in 2011, mainly due to operational efficiencies, higher financial income. Net comprehensive financial income in fourth quarter 2012 reached 348,000. Regarding the company balance sheet, assets, cash, and temporary investments decreased approximately 32 million pesos, or 1% compared to fourth quarter 2011, and decrease of 14% compared to third quarter 2012. These declines came despite significant expenditures that the company undertook during 2012, including CapEx investments in operations, loan payment with Banamex, payments to Cisco Capital, as well as the dividend payment. Megacable continues to be a company that generates free cash flow quarter to quarter and strategically invests in the business. Lastly, regarding capital expenditures, during the fourth quarter, Megacable invested 521 million pesos for an accumulated figure of 1,908 million. This investment was mainly allocated towards the purchase of terminal subscriber equipment, road and modernization of the cable network, and the purchase of fixed assets. This concludes my presentation as well as management's portion of the call. We are now pleased to take any questions that you may have. Operator, please continue with the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we would like to open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone now. Our first question will come from Andre Sava, Credit Suisse.
Good morning. Thank you for the call. Look, my first question is related to ARPUs. These have been declining throughout the year, especially in internet and in telephony. Could you give us more color about, I mean, you've mentioned much of this has to is related to penetrating into lower socioeconomic segments, but if you could give us more color about this, and when do you expect the trend to stabilize?
Yes, Andres, this is Raimundo. Yes, we saw the a decrease in the ARPU, slightly decreasing on those two segments. We've been very aggressive in terms of getting to lower economic levels, like you said, but we do not expect that to continue to decrease. We basically expect to keep what we have. The ARPU of telephony decreased because of the rate that we charge for the fixed to mobile phones decrease, both the cost and the price that we have. And in terms of the broadband, we were very aggressive to increase. That's why we got the 22%. But we feel that the rates and the tariffs that we have right now for the triple and the double, that's where we should be. That's where competition, market absorption, and 2013 and 14 will look like, meaning that we will continue to have the same rate that we have right now. At least that's our purpose on that part for the three services. We were very aggressive also in terms of telephony. Telephony increased in the last two quarters of last year. Every time we said telephony on that part, since we bundled that with the internet and video too, we have a lower in the ARPU of the other product for the customers that were in the company before. And then we have the new additions that, like we mentioned, those are a lower package to the customer. The mix is that makes us decline on that part. But as I said, we expect the mix to continue for 2013, so keeping the ARPUs in the same level that we have right now.
Okay, thanks so much. And if I may ask about your guidance for 2013?
Thanks. Luis, you want to say?
Sure. All right. In terms of revenues, we expect a growth around 10.6. In terms of EBITDA, we are seeking a 10% growth. On subscribers, we are expecting our video subscribers to grow 10.5%. Internet subscribers, 21%, around 21%. Telephony, 12%.
Let me explain you, Andres, this is Raimundo again, a little bit what you are doing. We do,
yes,
we strongly, yes?
Mm-hmm. Tell me, sorry.
Oh, okay. We're targeting, an increase in the revenues for 2013 compared to 2012. That's because, like we said, we expect ARPUs to remain. That's at least our goal. And We depend a lot, and we are finally ready to digitalize more cities. So with the increase of digital set-top boxes, we will regain, like I said in the speech before, we will regain piracy, the piracy that we might have on the street on that part, efficiency of the company, but also additional revenue coming from additional outlets and premium packages on that part. Plus, we are adding the subscription VOD. Like we said, we are launching VOD in more cities. That's why we increase the number of VOD-ready subscribers that can get used to the service. All combined, you know, we're not saying we're not going to sell anymore the lower-end package, which we call the Conecta. What we're saying is that all around in terms of video, for that sense, it looks good. You know, we expect with all that to raise the organic growth in terms of what we're getting, but also the output. That's why our input, that's a significant part of the input. In terms of internet, it's pretty much the same. Our bandwidth is already between 5, the minimum is 5 megabits, but we have 10, 15, 20, 40, and 100. Like I said, 43% of the network is already DOCSIS 3.0 ready, so that means we can provide 100 megabits to 43% of our potential subscribers. But we expect that, and we're part of our CAPEX will continue to renew the network to increase that DOCSIS 3.0 capability to more parts, and we expect to be more aggressive and the subscribers in the mid to upper economic levels to absorb higher bandwidth so we can keep the mix in between the lower levels with new subscribers and the old subscribers to get more from them because of the new speed that we're providing on that part. So digital is critical and the improvement of the internet too. We also have, I mentioned, our business unit. We expect and we're going to put a lot of effort in Metro Carrier. Gain a great competitive advantage now with the implementation of GTAC, so we can provide service end-to-end within our own network, taking care of the QoS ourselves, so we can do that across all the cities of Megacable, but pretty much all the cities of Megacable, the ones that have the service or require the digital services at the end. So we also expect that to help the revenues get to that almost 11% that Luis is mentioning on that part, 10.6% that we have. And maybe that, you know, the cost and the revenue, we do not expect that to go higher from what we have in the end. So that will hopefully get us to an EBITDA of 10% year over year, which is our main goal of that part. You know, I did extend a little bit my answer, but that's pretty much the strategy we have here in management for meeting the guideline 2013.
That's great, Raimundo. Thanks so much. And what about CapEx? And if you could help us understand how that CapEx will be distributed between the acquisition of set-top boxes or maintenance or other projects? Thank you.
Right. Just to finish with the CapEx for next year, our guidance is that we are going to reach close to $180 million. So it is going to keep about 22% of revenues, 23% of revenues. And during 2012, we did not invest in set-top boxes as we expected. So that piece is going to really be acquired during 2013. So as Raimundo mentioned on the digitalization project, we are going to invest about 25% of the CapEx is going to be focused on set-top boxes. Mm-hmm. Another 25 to 30% is going to be focused on, again, growth, construction of kilometers and upgrading current networks. And another 25% is going to be focused on new technologies and investment on equipment.
And let me explain it to everybody also a little bit more on the digitalization. We did not invest like we have for 2012, like Luis is saying, not because we, management-wise, we did not want to do it. We are committed and we really believe that digitalizing the network is the way to improve revenue and ARPU for our company. But we have to be very careful in how we do it, with who we do it, and where we do it. We finally improved the technology that we are using on the subscriber homes. We are using two technology vendors, and we are ready to go to an open standard called DVB that will allow us also to get better friendly user HD set-top boxes that can be purchased at a more affordable price with great benefits for all of us. Also, we're trying and we will look to have the same look and feel for the OTT platform. This means that whoever has the Mega Red service with Mega Cable video service too will have a very close look in between how he's using the tablet or the iPad or the laptop and how he's using the VOD services on the video platform. So we're very happy and excited to see that we will have a very competitive and great product, improving the one that we already have.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Andreas Medina Mora from GBM.
Hi, thank you for the call. I was wondering if you had an estimate for your net debt or net cash level for the end of next year. And also, if you have seen any additional issues or movements regarding consolidation in the sector. I know this question comes to Ricardo, just to see your feelings on this. Anything new, especially now that the telecommunications law is underway. Thank you.
Okay, I will touch base on the cash, and Raimundo will touch. Enrique will talk about that. Right, on the net cash position, we expect to continue generating free cash flow in around 80 million pesos per month. So that is kind of 1,000 million in the whole year, plus the around 300 that we have already of free cash flow. So we expect to end up the year with around 1,300 or 1,300. That's on the net debt or free cash flow.
Free cash flow.
So regarding the other question,
Enrique, you wanna answer, Andres?
Yeah. What was the question, Andres?
Just to see how you're seeing the sector in terms of consolidation. As has the recent shift in the telecommunication law made anything more approachable than before, or is the market on the same side as it was a couple of months
back? The market is in the same condition. We haven't seen any movement from any other or the other. Companies, which there's a, we have always said that there are only two main targets out there, the Grupo EBI and Cablecom. And those companies, as far as we know, the controller of Cablecom, which is FinTech, they are expecting to get a better value before they move forward and do an improvement to either to sell or consolidate with somebody else. We, since they are not a public company, we don't know what kind of numbers they have and what kind of a return they would expect in case they decide to sell at this moment. So what we know, what we've heard is that they went in to have a way out, you know, as any other investor like FinTech, but the kinds of returns they expect is obviously a high return due to that they are taking a big risk, and
They were expecting a huge improvement in operations, which we don't know if they have had it yet. But I think that they will make the movement when they see that. And Grupo Heavy, we haven't heard much about them. We understood that they were on the verge of giving them mandate to a investment banking firm to go out to the market and sell the company, but we haven't heard back from that bank yet. And they called us and they said that they would go out in market, and they would hear from we would hear from them in the coming weeks. But we haven't heard anything. But we're ready. Our balance sheet is ready. We have talked to the bank, to the bankers, our bankers, and they are ready to move forward with us to do an acquisition that comes up. We're waiting for that.
Great, Enrique. Thank you. And just on the law itself, do you see anything that could change your estimate going forward regarding interconnection or must carry most stuff or any important changes that you guys see?
No, really. As you know, there is the interconnection regulatory document is not out yet. I think it's going to be a little while before it's out. We do believe that, yesterday I think that a telecommunication reform was presented by Senator Lozano. It was late yesterday, so we're still trying to read it and understand it. As I understand, it doesn't really, there's nothing relevant in there. We don't see anything relevant in there. So we think that we will have to wait for if there is any other initiative presented in the coming days by the PACT. There is a PACT in Congress, and those guys have not presented anything yet. We hope and we expect, because that's something that everyone in Congress wants, movement in the law of foreign investment to take out the hurdle of 49% and leave it free. We expect that to pass this year, so we will have 100% foreign investment allowed in cable and fixed telecommunications.
Great, Enrique. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Jose Pablo Vallejo, GBM.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking the question. I have a couple of questions. The first one regarding a follow-up from CapEx. I was wondering if you can give us some guidance for the next years in terms of percentage of revenue. Like we're estimating that it should decrease, right? And my second question is from the PACT that is in Congress, that it should be presented in Congress. They spoke about unbundling. I don't know if you can comment on that. Thank you.
Okay. regarding CapEx, right now we are investing, as you see, around 23% of our revenues in CapEx, and that's been the case for the last couple of years. So the idea will be to continue this until we finish digitalization. And maybe that will reduce a little bit, but not substantially, because we think that to keep us up in terms of technology, we need to continue investing. So we will find the best balance for that. But I think the next 2-3 years we will keep close to 23-22% on revenues. And regarding the
Enrique, you wanna answer the second one that Jose Pablo says about the unbundling on the law? Yes, well, we don't know. I mean, we did push that. We tried the
that the regulator would make the unbundling of the local loop mandatory for the incumbent or dominant player, which is in this case Telmex, and they did not want to make the move. And that rule is in effect in a lot of countries, developed countries like in Europe or in some cases in South America. And it's only mandatory, for instance, in Spain, it's mandatory for Telefonica, who is the dominant and the incumbent. But it's non-mandatory for the rest of the players. And it has one reason. That company is normally the one that has the largest coverage and that reaches places that nobody reaches, because it's normally a network that comes from a government-owned or publicly-owned before it was private. And it was a national monopoly at the beginning. So we think that when it comes up, that will be a obligation to the dominant, which is Telmex. So we can, or the government, or the public sector, or anyone that wants to provide services, but there is only that network, they can do it through their local loop, paying a unbundled and a very specific cost-related infrastructure. But we don't know if that will be in effect. I mean, that was the main reason why the regulator, the Comisión, it's called the Comisión Reguladora, rejected the project of the Copetel for the interconnection because it did not consider the unbundling of the local loop. I think that it will go back to the Copetel, and the Copetel will have to reconsider that.
Okay, thank you. And if I may, one more question. What's the status on the Azteca content? Are you guys carrying it, or is there any negotiations going on? Or?
No, we're not carrying it, not yet. Yes, we're in negotiations with them. We carry Azteca in selected markets, in a few markets, which is about 10% of the total subscribers that we have, about 13-14% of the total subscribers. We are in negotiations with them. We are very close to reaching an agreement. We are not there yet. We hope to reach an agreement with Azteca.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Fernando Ramos, GBM.
Good morning. Thank you for all the information. Currently, you have 1.6 RUUs per unique subscriber, roughly, and I would like to know what's your medium-term goal, whether that to you expect it to climb to 2 or 2.5, or what do you see there in the medium term? And my second question is, I believe it's a company strategy to migrate your subs to packages with greater number of channels and to upsell part of your base. So I would like to know what percentage of your video subscribers currently have the most basic package that Mega offers. Thank you.
Okay, Raimundo.
Yes, Fernando, this is Raimundo again. Yes, we currently have 1.6% RUs. We grow from 1.56 to 1.59. We expect that to continue to grow since our growth of internet broadband is 22% per year, we're expecting 21% per year, plus the 12% telephony compared to the percentage that we increase in video will continue to increase the RUs per unit subscriber. That's clear that will still happen. In terms of migration,
and where do you see it in the medium term? Do you see it reaching 2, for example, or even higher than that, or what's your expectation? Just to get a rough estimate.
No, we don't expect to have 2 right now. That will be in the long term. Let's say in 5 years we can have something like that. But right now at that pace, we will continue to grow in terms of 5% per year DRUs compared to what we had before, going from 1.6 to 1.65 or something like that.
Right. Fernando, yeah. Fernando, what happened is that as we grow in terms of subscribers on Internet and also on telephony, you have to remember that every year we build about 10% of our current network in new kilometers. So that's basically bringing new subscribers on board. So that's why normally as we grow in terms of subscribers in telephony and Internet, with the new kilometers that we are building, basically we bring first video subscribers on board and then we've coupled the other services. So as we keep building new kilometers, which is a strategy as well, that will delay a little bit the upscaling that many RGUs per subscribers to, let's say, 5 years or maybe a little bit more.
Yeah. Going back, you can expect to have to 1.68 RGUs for 2013, 1.7. That's pretty much what we're targeting to 2013. You know, in the long term, it looks good, but you know, it's something that, like Luis is mentioning, will take year by year to get there. The second question you asked about our strategy to migrate customers, is that correct, Fernando?
Yes, correct. And if you can provide a figure of how many of your video subscribers currently have the most basic package Mega offers, that would be fantastic.
Yes, what we have right now is a mix that goes pretty much in between 35% has the mini basic, 45% has the basic, and the other 20% has a premium package in general. So we have 20% that has either a movie premium services or an additional extended basic package. That's how pretty much how we have the mixture there. Our strategy is to create a mixture in between the mini and the basic, so we can migrate those subscribers. As long as we get new subscribers on the mini basic, also get the ones that we have with more channels as we go on the year. We can do that easily because we have some system, this much channels plus interactive and guide and this and that for this little amount of money during the next 3 to 4 months or 2 months. So subscribers can get more for a minimum fee, hook them up for that time, and hopefully retain some subscribers going to the new systems without having to send technicians on the street to change the service that we have. This is one of the great advantages of having the service completely digitalized. We can also provide and sell online or through our call center the premium packages as soon as the customer calls. We can do that since our set-top boxes are ready to have those premium packages. So that's pretty much the strategy. And what we do is also we bundle, of course, with Internet and telephony, providing long-distance calls, calls to cellular subscribers and more bandwidth. That will continue to be the strategy on that part.
Great. That's very, very clear. And lastly, if I may, the penetration rate of households has remained at roughly 34% over the last years. The business has remained quite profitable with this penetration. And I would like to get a sense if this is where you expect this figure to stay, or should it go down or go up in the medium to long term?
As long as we continue to build new kilometers of network, which we will, we gain subscribers with zero penetration, and even so, we do increase the penetration of the original network and subscribers. This one will remain the same because of the new kilometers. So we gain penetration in the old kilometers that we have, but we at the end of the year and the period we continue the same because of the zero penetration in the new kilometer. So we need to start from scratch. We do expect to have this penetration pretty much the same, slightly above that.
Perfect. That's very, very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone now. Our next question will come from Martin Lara, Actinver.
What is the amount of dividends that you plan to pay this year? And the second question is, what is the amount of cost savings that you plan to generate with your participation in the GTAC consortium?
Yes, Martin. Luis, you have to answer.
Sure. In terms of the dividends, really the idea is to, based on the results, analyze if we are going to really give a dividend out on a yearly basis. That has not been determined as mandatory. So this will be part of the decisions on the board of directors. But if we continue to have, you know, good impact, and we continue to see that the stock is more liquid, then I think we could go forward on that. So that there are some dependencies for that to happen. In terms of the savings for GTAC, that's a good story to tell, and thank you, Martin, for the question. On GTAC, we saw savings this year close to 140 million pesos. That's recognizing the cost of the megas as we started the year with the prior prices. So we increased 40% the total bandwidth that we are offering to our customers, and we were able to save a lot of money, as you saw in our financials. So the total impact was about 140 million for this year, and we expect that to continue for the following year with even higher amount, reaching 160, 180, depending on, of course, the demand of the bandwidth that we could have from our subscribers.
And sorry, you said 160 million in 2013?
Yes, but that's basically using or comparing to with the prices that we started 2012.
That means if we continue to provision bandwidth the way we had before, I mean, we increase bandwidth to subscribers, like Luis says, by 45%. Our subscribers increase only 22%. I mean, 22% is a good growth. We're proud of that. But we provide 45%. More bandwidth, that will consider an increasing cost for us if we wouldn't do GTAC. That's what Luis is saying. Since we make the investment and we are fully operational in GTAC nationwide, we are able to increase 45% bandwidth and still have a great savings compared to if we haven't done GTAC.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Michelle Morin, Morgan Stanley.
Good morning. I was wondering if, you know, we've been hearing from some of the other companies that have reported their fourth quarter results already that the fourth quarter was a little bit weaker, perhaps towards the end of the quarter at the macroeconomic level. So I was wondering if you could comment on whether or not you saw any, you know, macro-induced slowdown, perhaps relative to your own expectations. And then secondly, can you comment about your market share trends in your concession area, you know, how you see yourselves competing versus Telmex and anyone else that you might be seeing in your markets? You know, do you feel that you've been gaining share? Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Enrique, in regard with the macroeconomic performance of the economy, we didn't see a really slow down in the last quarter. We saw it was natural as any other year. We think that Maybe what happened is that due to the change of government, some companies that do deal with government notice a slower pace because of the natural change of the government. You know, they're starting to see what's going on and how do they want to manage things in the new government, new federal government especially. And state governments obviously also are you know, with their new relation of the federal government, they want to see how their the money is gonna flow. But I don't think that's a general part of the economy. That's my impression. In regards to the market share, oh well, we're coming strong. We are in a very good position. We're still with very high market shares in video, very reasonable market shares and going up in broadband. In our oldest markets, we are in the best, in the worst case, pretty much at the same level than Telmex in the broadband market share. In some cases, we're above them. In the newer markets, we are lower market share than Telmex. But overall, we are about 38-39% of the broadband market share overall. And that's growing. In video, we are about 70% overall. In some markets, in the other markets, we are close to 80 or over 80% market share. And newer markets, we are about 60. We think that it'll get better. I mean, with the strategy we are following, it'll get better. The market is very, very competitive. But we are a very competitive company with very competitive product, and we think it'll get better.
Absolutely. And in some markets, if I can just follow up on that, Telmex has been deploying more fiber and upgrading some of their customers essentially at no cost to the customer. So have you seen them fight back, and are you seeing in the areas where they have been fighting back, are you seeing any impact on your ability to continue to gain share in broadband?
Well, they always fight back. You know, Telmex. Telmex is not soft competition. They're very hard competitors. They're very competitive, and they're always pushing. But our product is very good. GTAC has really, you know, that's a big relief for us. GTAC. If we didn't have GTAC, we would be in big trouble. We can. We are very competitive in the long haul, and that allows us to really compete with anyone in the broadband market. And with DOCSIS 3.0, we can go, you know, up to 100 or over 100 megabits per home. We don't need fiber. Although our fiber is a few hundred meters or yards from the subscriber home, we are very close with the fiber that allows us to provide very high speeds, very stable service. And, you know, as you know, there's a new technology, 3.1, DOCSIS 3.1, that will allow us to go up to 1 gigabit or 10 gigabits downstream to the subscriber home. We don't think we are yet needing that technology, but there is a technology that even that will, you know, avoid us to start deploying fiber to the home. We don't need to do that. We might do it. You know, but you know, new technology, cable companies, cable technology is very, very competitive, and it's still the most competitive technology out there.
And on your DOCSIS 3.0 rollout, you mentioned that 43% of your footprint is ready. Is that maybe a little bit behind schedule? I thought I remembered that you were targeting to be at closer to 75%. Maybe I have my years mixed up, but
no. What we meant by 40 something percent is that we have DOCSIS 3.0 in every city. Every city has DOCSIS 3.0 deployed. But we are actually opening that service wherever we do have customers that are demanding those, you know, higher speeds than 10 or 20 megabits, which is not very often. Mm-hmm. We did switch all our subscribers that were that are 20 megabits service or up to DOCSIS 3.0. even that we could reach them with DOCSIS 2.0 at 20 megabits. We moved them to a DOCSIS 3.0 technology to make a more stable service. But the company is ready to do DOCSIS 3.0 wherever we need it.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, as a quick reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone now. Our next question will come from Carlos Sanguinetti, Copernico Capital Partners.
Hi. Do you see risks that EBITDA margins could fall below the 40% level in the next 3 years? Thank you.
Raimundo?
Yes, Carlos, thank you. No, we are we're targeting to the same level. We believe that if we reach the balancing between cost and revenue, of course the key is to keep the ARPUs the way we have it right now. You know, if we are not able to keep those ARPUs, of course the margin will be compromised. But we're not considering that to happen. We're taking the right measures and promotions, like Enrique was saying. We strongly believe that our video and internet service is being improving with the OTT, with the digitalizations, and with the new DOCSIS 3.0, plus the power that GTAC is putting on MetroCarrier, that will increase the revenue of the company. You know, and also in terms of bandwidth, our cost decrease. Like Luis was saying, the cost of GTAC helped us a lot, took some pressure off those costs. In terms of interconnection, you know, we will see trends at the lower on that part on the cost. And in terms of video, we have already negotiated most of our contracts with the vendors. We do not expect any change on 2013 significantly on that part or at all. I mean, it's mostly the new channels that we have. We put them on 2012, some of them 2011. We renegotiate with the vendors on those 2 years. So we pretty much know where we are. So we expect the margin to continue, Carlos.
Thank you.
Another question?
Our next question will come from Michael Marin, Morgan Stanley.
Yeah, hi, just to follow up on that earlier question regarding your margins. So you've guided to revenue growth of you know approximately 10% and EBITDA growth of approximately 10%. So I guess the question is, you know, why would you not expect to see any operating leverage, you know, especially given the savings from GTAC? And specifically, are you seeing perhaps your content costs going up, or what would be the main issue holding back your margins in 2013?
Well, the margin, like I said, you know, we're on the guidance, we're putting to 10.6 and 10% EBITDA, so it's pretty close to each other. What we see is that in order we've been able to keep a lower churn in the company. But in order to grow at that pace, we do need to bring into the company the administrative and the sales effort to get there. You know, we need to sell above those 3% churn in terms to have that growth in terms of subscribers. So that puts some pressure on the sales. But for the rest, it's not significantly. You know, if we grow 10.6% the revenue and 10% the EBITDA, that means cost is slightly above the other year. The margin is a little bit below, but it's not significant on that part.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Again, to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your touch-tone phone now. Our next question will come from Rodrigo Villanueva, Merrill Lynch.
Hi. Good morning. A couple of questions. First, I was wondering if you think that competition could intensify in a significant way after the launch of Axtel's pay TV product. That would be my first question.
Yeah, Rodrigo.
Rodrigo.
The second question? You want to say the second?
Sure, sure. The second question would be if you could share with us the amount that you are paying for Azteca's content on a subscriber basis. Thank you.
Okay, well, in terms of competition, we see Axtel in two of our markets in a small amount of kilometers. We really don't know whether Axtel has the muscle to continue to invest on that product. It is very capital intensive to do fiber or GPON to provide video the way they are doing that part. Ours is much more competitive in that part. Our package has everything that they have so far. Now with the launch of OTT in the near months to come, we will pretty much tie everything. Everything they have, they don't have the OTT like we have it right now. And I don't think they have the economic size to compete that much into the whole market that we have. We also have seen competition from, let's say, Total Play. We have competition from Dish, from Sky, from Telmex. I mean, it's welcome to come. I think we're doing things right, and after so many years of competition, we managed to be here. We are still targeting to get new subscribers with the lower economic packages that are much more competitive that they have. But we have the upper economic with all the implementation and the advantages technologically that we mentioned before. So we will fight strongly with them in those two markets that we have and in the rest that they come, the same way that we do with the Sky Dish or Telmex. You know. In terms of Azteca, we cannot disclose the cost of what we pay to our vendors for, you know, company reasons. In that part, sorry to tell you that, Rudy.
Okay, no problem. Thank you very much, Raimundo.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you very much. At this time, we currently have no further questions in the queue, so I'd like to turn this conference back to Enrique Yamuni.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for your interest in this conference. It was very interesting questions, and we really appreciate your interest in Megacable, and we look forward to talking to you in our next report. And in the meantime, we are ready to answer any more questions you have. You have all our contact data, like email, phone numbers. Feel free to call us anytime or send us an email with further questions or any other information you may want from us. We will always be very open to give it to you and very open also to discuss any strategies or any doubts that you have about our company or the market. Thank you very much again, and we'll hope to see you soon or talk to you soon. Thank you very much. Bye. Raimundo.
Thank you, Enrique. Thank you. Well, the same from my part. I hope I'm very happy with the time that we spend, this hour that we have here, all the questions that you make. Thank you for the interest that you put in what we are doing. Our message continues to be that we have a strong management, strong balance for the company. We believe that we know what we are doing, and we are very informed of what other companies are doing there. We are very cautious, but at the same time, investing where we need to do and taking the decisions and the promotions and the campaigns and the investments that we need to do to have 2013-14 and the short and long term good for this company that we have. Do not hesitate to follow up with us. You know, any additional question you have, Enrique, Luis, myself are available anytime that you want. Thank you, and Luis, I don't know if you want to say something.
Yeah, well, they didn't let me any room, right? So they said everything anyway. Thanks, everybody, and talk to you in a couple of months.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, this conference is now concluded. You may disconnect your phone lines and have a great weekend. Thank you.